We yield this teaching to you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And so, guys, you do have home. You have handouts today. And this teaching, this AAA teaching, today I want to focus on a subject called home court advantage. I almost brought my basketball today, and I ran out the house so quick I forgot the basketball. But it is so fitting because it's not March Madness. It's we're in the playoffs. Anybody been watching the playoffs? I'm not really a basketball guy, but I'm going to act like it in about 10 minutes as it relates to the playoffs. And who's, can anybody at least name one team that's playing in the playoffs right now? Y'all making me feel good because your team got put out. If you had to pick a team, shout real quick, who would be your team?
Sixers. Golden State.
Golden State. The Chicago Bulls. Charlotte Hornets. Clemson. South Carolina Gamecock Girls. Come down your street. So definitely want to ask you guys to turn in your Bibles to John 17, which is our anchor scripture. And have you guys been enjoying Lady Webb's teaching on this? This is going to fit in her. Every time she gets up to teach, she always talk about us as humans. Look at somebody say, hey, you human, you look good. Ask them, do you feel good? But Lady Webb always say, we are humans. We are spiritual beings trapped in this human body, living this. Now, we look good, right? But we are spiritual beings looking good in this, what God gave us, this flesh God gave us. And so I want to speak to that this morning. John 17, verse 14. This is, just fill in the blanks for me, guys. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and what? John, I just in case, you know, COVID is real. This look like it's already been open. So should I drink it? That's cold.
That's mine.
Oh, it's yours. Oh, I need to drink it because I know you. It's holy water. I'm just. So me and Lex was talking on the way here, and we speaking of world travelers. And we were talking about how, you know, we travel and we try to stay nice. We do try to stay nice. And, you know, sometimes we've been blessed to stay at a 5-star hotel. And we don't even want to go to sleep because we paid so much money. We just want to look at everything and say, should it really cost this much in this 5-star hotel? And then we talked about just when did we start to become this germaphobe? You know, we literally take a roller now and roll the bed sheets. A lint brush roller. We will roll at a 5-star hotel. You will find stuff in the bed. Like, I paid too much money to be rolling dog hair out of my sheets. Clean dog hair. You know, it's clean, but I mean, because, you know, but I don't want to sleep in dog hair. Amen. And so that, all right, thank you for this clean water. My abs is getting a good workout this morning on that laughing. John 17, John 17, verse 14. Guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is at the end of the Synoptic Gospels. Everybody say Synoptic Gospels. So while we're reading this, just know this is at the end of Jesus' life on earth. This is at the very end. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So it's going to sound a certain way. And John 17, chapter 17, verse 14 says, read it with me. Ready? This is Jesus talking, so it should be really in what color?
Red.
Red. So when Jesus is talking in the Bible, it's written in red. All right. Verse 14, I have given them your word,
And the world has hated them. Jesus said, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Jesus says, my prayer. Jesus is talking to the Father. Jesus is talking to God the Father. Jesus said, God, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This prayer, this is near the end of Jesus' life on earth. Jesus is praying. Amen. But before this, you have the Last Supper. It's the Last Supper. So again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, obviously the Last Supper should be in John. Amen. So in John 13, you have the Last Supper. It begins. But this passage in John 17 is real close to the Last Supper. So the sequence of events, you have the Last Supper, you have this prayer, but in John 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, you have the last of the last teachings of Jesus. So it's like the last words of Jesus, but it's like the last of the last words of teachings of Jesus. It's like his closing remarks. Amen. It's like his closing remarks in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Then we have this anchor scripture that I'm lifting today, which is in John 17. And it's right before Jesus was arrested. If you look in your paper Bible, you may even see, you can see it even better. If you go to John 17, chapter 17, you will see that the book of John is, it's like you're about two pages away from the book of John being finished. Amen. So you can kind of have a visual in your paper Bible that this is right before Jesus is arrested. And then you know what happens after Jesus is arrested. What happens? He's crucified. And then after he's crucified, eventually he is what? He says, peace out. I'm out of here. Y'all can have this motel. I'm going to paradise. Amen. But in John 17, he prays for himself and the disciples. He prays for himself and the disciples in John 17. And even though I focused on John chapter 17, verse 14, let's read John chapter 17, verse 6. Y'all ready? John chapter 17, verse 6 says, just as Jesus talking, he is praying for himself and he's praying for the disciples. He says, God, I have revealed to you those whom you gave. I have revealed you, God, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything you have given me comes from you. Verse 8, Jesus says, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Verse number 9, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. That's interesting, right? He says, right now, the subject matter, the persons that I'm praying for is my boys, my disciples. Verse 9, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but those that you have given me, for they are yours. Amen. Jesus, why are you not concerned about the world right now? That's just a question I'm asking. Interesting. Right now in verse 10, Jesus says, all I have is yours and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Verse number 11. I will remain in the world no longer. I'm about to get out of here. This is a mess down here. And but I have equipped you. All right. So he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, God, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Verse number 12. While I was with them, I protected them and I kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that scripture would be fulfilled. Now, who is he talking about right there? Talking about Judas. Everybody's straight. Everybody's still keeping a level head. But there's one in the camp that's lost his mind. But actually, without a Judas, Judas actually sped up the process for me to come and see you, God. So perhaps we need Judases in our lives for us to get to our destination. Amen? So don't worry about your haters and the betrayals, because God will use it. Amen? Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. We just read this, verse 15. My prayer is that not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. A lot of reading. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord that I'm in shape. So it's interesting when everybody say word. Everybody say world. There's definitely a difference between the word, God's word, and the world. But it's interesting that it's only one letter, at least in the English language, that's added, and then you get world. So if you add L to word, you get world. This is just me and my own imagination. This is not because of some deep study. It's just perhaps the L in world stands for lust. That's why it's worldly, because it's lustly. Amen. So the scripture we just read in John chapter 17, it lifts a few things. And my question is, why would the word of God attract hate from the world? Why would the word of God attract hate? Why are you hating me because of the word of God? Number two question is, why would God drop us? God, why would you leave us here? It's almost like when I was in 1999, my mama, I don't even think my daddy came. My mama and my brother Marcus, they dropped me off in Anderson and went back to Spartanburg. And my brother Marcus, he's probably not watching. Man, he cried his eyes out. He beat his chest. I'm losing my brother. They dropped me off in Anderson. You know what the news say about Anderson, right? I'm like, God, in this passage we just read, I'm like, God, why would you leave us here on earth? Why would you drop us off in the world? The world is not a good place. And if the L in world stands for lust, then this is an interesting place. You drop me off in a place of lust. Amen? So lust. Everybody say lust. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the flesh, the world, have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And lust is basically a self-centered craving. A self-centered craving. Amen. I've been craving ice cream lately, but I'm going to beat that thing today. Amen. Lex don't know this, but we got like a little small thing that I'll sneak and get me a spoonful. But I'm still losing some pounds, so I don't know what's going on there. So maybe I need to eat more ice cream. It sounds like an in the mist day. But lust is it's self-centered. It's a self-centered craving. I want what I want, and I'm gonna please me. That's a dangerous place to be walking and navigating life and be engulfed in selfishness. I feel like Alfie's is a pretty selfish person. I want the temperature at a certain temperature. I want clean water. Amen. Sweets, can you do this? When I think about it, man, I'm pretty selfish. Can I? Y'all sitting there looking like y'all judging me. Let the Lord call your mail. You're going to say, I'm selfish too. Amen. If you've ever sent a plate back at a restaurant, raise your hand. Selfish, 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 selfish. Thank you. I feel better up here now. Lust is self-centered craving. World. The world is acting like the world. The world is self-centered. God does not want us to act like the world. He wants us to deny self. Amen. Amen. Galatians 5 says, for the flesh, the world desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. One more time, John 17, I have given them, Jesus is praying. He says, God, I have given the disciples the word, your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world. Meaning, my boys, the disciples, are not of the world. They are in the world. Obviously, they're in the world, but they are not of the world. Everybody say, in the world. But not of it. Almost like you guys can be in House of Judah. I'm teaching. You leave. And they say, what did Alphaeus teach about today? You say, I don't know. I was there, but I was not there. Make sense? You could be in a marriage, but not of a marriage. Amen? You could be in a marriage and you sleep in two separate bedrooms. Amen? That's a you're in the marriage, but you what? You're not of the marriage. You could be in the classroom and don't know what the teacher taught. That means you're in the classroom, but you're not what? You're not of the classroom. In the world, but not of the world. Jesus says, my prayer is, I get it. You on earth, you're in the world. L, lust, you in this lustful place. But my prayer is that you don't come to me. My prayer is, not that I take you out of the world, but you are protected from the evil one. Amen? That you are protected from the evil one. It is definitely the conference time. It's basketball conference time. Everybody just do this like you're shooting basketball, like it's in the wrist. Everybody say it's in the wrist. Everybody say it's in. Come on, everybody say it's in the wrist. I had to do research for this. I shouldn't know this. I'm a guy. I shouldn't know this. Guys watch sports, but, you know, I like golf. Amen. But the Dallas, and I have to read this because I'm not that basketball guy. So it may seem corny because I'm reading this and it's all over the place. But the Dallas Mavericks tonight is going to play Minnesota Timberwolves. Amen. I have to read that. Look at the jerseys. Imagine being hated because you have on a certain jersey. Imagine putting on a certain jersey and you are hated. So when the Timberwolves from Minnesota go to Dallas Maverick, am I right? Am I saying it right? When the Timberwolves from Minnesota, they go to Dallas tonight. They are either in Dallas right now, or they're on their way to Dallas. They shouldn't be in Dallas right now. Amen. They're going to be hated by more people than loved by more people because they're not on their home court. So the Timberwolves are not going to get the love, but they have won two of the seven games that's supposed to be in the conference. East Coast? See there? Messed up. The West Coast Conference. There's an East Coast Conference. There's a West Coast Conference, and I'm glad there's mostly beautiful ladies in the room because you probably are getting educated. All the guys in the room says, goofball, oh, yeah. There's an East Coast Conference, and there's a West Coast Conference, and the Timberwolves and the Dallas Maverick basketball team are a part of the what conference? Thank you, West Coast. I needed that reminder. They're going to be hated, so the Timberwolves are going to be hated tonight because they're not on their home court. You can actually be a Minnesota fan for about 20 years, but the moment you put on a Dallas jersey, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be hated. You're going to be hated because of your decision to put on a certain jersey. You're going to be hated because you decided to put on a certain jersey. The Minnesota players are not praying tonight that the Dallas fans treat them like Minnesota players are not praying that they are treated like Mavericks when they go to Dallas. They're not asking the other team, the opposing team, the fans of the opposing teams to treat them like their team. They don't care. They're going to whoop up on the team, even though it's a away game. Everybody say it's an away game. Their prayer tonight, the Minnesota players are saying, God, protect us from evil. Help us navigate while we are away from home, while we are not on our home turf. Make sense? This is an away game for who tonight? Come on, class. Minnesota, who? Timberwolves are playing an away game tonight in what city?
Dallas.
In Dallas. They are praying that God keeps them from evil, not to turn them into the other team. They are sure of who they are. They say, I know who I am. I got the jersey. That should be our position in 2024. Lord, protect us from the evil one. Everybody say, Lord, protect us from the evil one. The Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, for thine is the kingdom, deliver us from evil. Help me out, guys. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Deliver. That should be our prayer in 2024. We're in the world. Look around. Step around. Look at your watch. Look at your phone. We are clearly in the world. Blink, move. We have being. Yes, we're flesh, but we're spirit in this flesh. We're in the world. We're in this cosmos. Everybody write it down or say, everybody say cosmos. Our prayer is, God, I can sit out on this one. Help us navigate this cosmos. It's like this 365-day away game. It's like we're playing an away game 365 days of the year. Because if you didn't know this, again, as Lady Webb always say, this world is not our home. We are away from our home. That's why sometimes it feels very weird on earth. It feels like something is always missing. Anybody other than me, it feels like something is missing. You feel off. You Christians, you're depressed. Perhaps one reason you're a Christian and you're depressed because you are homesick. Because this world is not our home. Amen? World. Everybody say world, which is comes from a Greek word called cosmos. That's not foreign to the kids. Cosmos. All right? It sounds like something we would read in school in the science book. Cosmos. Everybody say cosmos. But it's not as abstract as you think. It is basically the system of the world. Everybody say the system of the world. It's the values of the world. It's its beliefs. The world, the cosmos, has its own way of life. It has its own way of living. It's the opposite of God's will. It can also describe humanity in general, but it's basically the world is apart from God. Everybody say the world is apart from God. And it's not our permanent environment. It is the opposite of the kingdom of God. Everybody say kingdom of God. The world is the opposite of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has its own system. The kingdom of God has its own way of life. It has its own swag, kind of like what I'm seeing in front of me. Got those, what are my shades? I wanted to join you and have the swag that you're having right now. I love it. We have our own way of life in the kingdom of God. And it should not look like what? The world. There is no place like home, which is the kingdom of God. We're going to always feel off in this hotel called earth. Be encouraged. The world will yield the fruit of the world. Amen? Amen. And the kingdom of God will always yield what? The fruit of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the word of God, is the opposite of the world. The word and the world is always fighting each other or in conflict. It's always going to be a boxing match between the world and the word. Amen. It's going to always be hot water when you lift and you promote the word of God. We just read it. I gave them the word. Jesus said, I gave them the word. And what happened after that? The world hated them. I would think the word would draw love from the world. But the world wants the world. Amen. And don't care who knows it. Amen. So because God is, he has us in the hotel called Earth. World. It's like we're a fish out of water. It's like we are really like a fish out of water, and we are playing an away game 365. Listen, there's a disadvantage to playing an away game versus a home game. So am I saying we are at a disadvantage? This is what I'm saying. Everybody in this room, we're going to have challenges because we're in the world. Be encouraged. I'm not saying this for misery love company's sake. I'm just saying this. Guys, we got to lean on each other because we are in the world. Amen? There's a disadvantage because we are currently, everybody in this room, we're on the same team. We're playing an away game. When we wake up, it's an away game. Amen? When we go to work, it's a what? It's an away game. So how do we live and how do we win in life when we're always playing on the opponent's turf? Who's the coach of the team world? You have team world. Who's that coach? Satan. The enemy. He's the coach. So we on his turf. He's coaching. We're trying to navigate in life. Playing an away game, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. I'm talking to Christians today, amen? I'm talking to believers, amen? We need encouraging, right? It's supposed to be, once you get saved, it's supposed to be really easy, right? Especially for us veteran Christians. It seems like it's getting more challenging. We're getting more annoyed about what we see on TV, amen? You can't even watch a basketball game because in the commercials, you want to tell the kids, wait, close your eyes. All right, open your eyes, close your eyes, open your eyes, close your ears. That's the system of the what? The world. What do we do?
Don't watch TV.
Don't watch TV. What do you do when you travel to Ducka 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 in the world and there's only one hotel for miles, that's the only hotel that you was dropped off at, and you and the arrangements, and you look around, and there's bed bugs, there's roaches, there's spiders, the sheets are dirty, but there's, and it's really, and this hotel is the only hotel on this island. It's the only hotel on this island, and you don't have a cell phone signal. You stuck in this hotel called Earth. It's your only option. Amen. And you can say, I don't want it. Listen, Lord, this is just, if it's going to get worse, take me now. So that means you're going to die young. If I have this attitude, God, this is a lot. This is, go ahead and take me now. I would die young. But there's more. Everybody say there's more. Even if you're older than me in this room, there's more. If you're younger than me in this room, there's more. Jesus said, nope, I'm not going to check you out of this hotel with spiders and bed bugs and dirty sheets and cold water and no deadbolt on the door. Nope. You stuck. My prayer is that you're protected from the bed bugs and the spiders and anybody that you think is going to come in your hotel room because you don't have a deadbolt on your door. What are we're on Earth. This is an away game. And the title of today's teaching is what? Home court advantage. How in the world are we going to have a home court advantage when Uncle Jerry's, the hymn he sang today, says our home is beyond the what? Blessed beyond the river. That's that he was singing about our home. Amen. So I'm going to end with this. There's three areas teams do to prepare for away games. And then we're finished. Amen. Y'all okay? Three areas teams do to prepare for an away game. And in my humble opinion, it gives us an advantage. It gives us this home court advantage, even though we're playing an away game. Number one, it is they give attention to their mental preparation. They get familiar with the venue that they're going to. All right? They actually review the details about the venue, the away venue, such as, like, what does it look like? What does it smell like? What's the weather conditions? What's the crowd like? Like, am I going to this arena and the crowd is going to throw things at me? I mean, that plays. Imagine going into a world where everybody hates you. So you got to get over that mentally and don't take it personal. They don't hate you as the person. You just happen to be a part of what? The team that they hate. The moment you're not on that team, they don't necessarily hate you. They don't direct that evilness towards you just because you're on that team. Number two, they hold team meetings to discuss the strategies with other team members. They get together and say, you know what, fellas, we're going over there. They're going to hate us. When we say this, they're going to hate us. House of Judah, when we stand up for right, they're going to hate us. But we got to stick together. Let's look around in the room and say, House of Judah, we got to stick together. We all we got. CMB. We all we got. Number three, they minimize distractions by enforcing certain habits, curfews, and they limit outside interactions to maintain focus. In other words, we protect our headspace. We protect our headspace. We put a moat around our spirit. Questions, take away from that. In the spirit, are we studying to prepare for this life of away games? Are we taking a page out of the NBA book with the team when they have away games? This is what they're doing. Number two, are we meeting with other believers to talk about this life of away games? Guys, in this room, let's not be struggling by ourselves. Let's not bottle up our struggles, our idiosyncrasies. I've been honest with you all teaching. I told you guys I've been having cravings for ice cream. Y'all need to check on me this week. Amen? Say, hey, you lost over 15 pounds. Keep it up. You got ice cream in your hand? Put it down. Are we meeting with other believers to stay encouraged? This is what the NBA players are doing to prepare for away games. They saying, fellas, hey, it's going to be a tough environment. I know you, listen, you can't drink tonight. I know you like that. I know you like to eat that. Listen, we got to win because this is an away game. How are we protecting our headspace so we can navigate a life of away games? This is the next area teams do to prepare for away games. Amen? They actually study the opponent strategies. Every team has a way that they play. The world has a system. The world has a way of doing business. Amen? The world wants us to be worldly. But what if we don't know what worldly looks like or feels like or talks like or sounds like? We can eventually start to do what? Sound, look, feel, conform to the world. So what they do is analyze the opponent's strategies, strengths, and weaknesses in the context of their home advantage. Takeaway, do we know the tactics of the enemy? 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, In order that Satan may not outwit us, what do we have to do? For we are not aware of his scheme. So 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the other team, the coach of the other team, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Even us veteran Christians, he wants to take us out. And when we least expect it, there will be something thrown at us and it could throw us off. Amen. I'm telling you what I know. Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against what? The devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? The rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, its system, the systems of the world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Number three, last thing, to prepare for the away games. Because, guys, there is an advantage to playing at home. Everybody say there's an advantage. When you are on your home, when you experiencing your home court, there are certain benefits, okay? I wonder, should I give you those benefits now while I'm here and then come back to the third one? Should I give you the benefits now? Let me give you the benefits now. These are some benefits of a home court advantage. First of all, you know the venue. It's a familiar place. It is a place where you're going to be loved. Your fans going to love you. They're going to speak well of you. You can miss all your free throws, and they may flip on you. But they're going to say, you got to do better. They're going to be more likely to encourage you because you have a home court advantage. It's the home team. You don't have travel fatigue when you have a home court advantage. You're not as tired. Amen. When you're in your rightful place, you're not as tired. You're not as you don't have this mental fog because you're more rested. Speaking of rest, you have more rest when you have a home court advantage. Amen. We got to fight as Christians to trigger this home court advantage. Amen. There's this routine and this comfort. It's like you are able to sleep in your own bed. Amen. Eat familiar food. Amen. Do you think if the city that you're playing, if you go into a restaurant and they know you're from the opposite team, you think they're going to try to be nice to you? The whole city is against you because you're part of a team. Amen. So you get to spend time with your family. And number five, this is very interesting because studies show that the refs, everybody say the refs. Shout it out. Everybody say the refs. It says that they would favor the home team more. When you're playing at home, you're likely to have the favor of the refs. And so I want you guys to start studying that. So these are some advantages of being on home court. All right, number three, the third thing that teams do to prepare for an away game. All right, are y'all okay? This is the last thing, all right? It's this physical preparation. Everybody say physical preparation. They eat right. They alter their training schedule to make sure that they are not too tired. Because if it's a 6-hour or if a 3-hour time difference, then they have to think about that ahead. They have to do things. They have to stay hydrated. They have to make sure they eat certain things that won't mess up their digestion system, digestive system. They get there early. They get to the city early so they can acclimate to the new environment. They actually do walkthroughs of the venue. They do like a light practice. They're not trying to overexert themselves. Who's the star of Stephen A. and the guys on First Take call him the new face of the league. What's his name again? Anthony Edwards. He looked gas at the last. Did he look like the new face of the league? Just now. This is This is all jokes. If this makes something, because cut, he was just, because if you trade with me, I couldn't last 2 seconds. But you get paid millions to do this, sir. But he looked like, man, he looked gassed. Perhaps he should have taken a page out of this teaching today. They actually get to the venue early. They walk around. They try to get acclimated to the new climate so they're not so tired, so they can endure the environment when they are away from the home court. Am I making sense? Takeaway, how are we taking care of our temple while we are navigating life away from home? Amen. It's easy to fall out of discipline when you are on the road. Guys, we're on earth. We're technically on the road. I should be on the watch care when Lex and I are traveling a lot because I don't have the same routine exercise. I'm trying to get my 10,000 steps. I'm trying to drink a gallon of water, and I'm trying to eat less carbs. Amen? So you can get thrown off your discipline when you are on the road. It's threatened. We are on earth. We're always on the road. This is not our home. So every single day we have to fight to be disciplined, to study God's word, to read his word, to worship him, to trigger this environment of home court advantage. Because without it, it's going to be very challenging to navigate life that feels like an away game 365 days of the year. I think you guys get the punchline for today, the bottom line. Number two, spiritual nutrition is paramount. So feeding our spirit with the word of God is paramount. This is a away game. Every day is an away game. The Bible says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And that you are not your own, for you have been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. On earth, it's an away game. We got to figure out how to navigate life. Away game. The enemy wants our head, even though we're veteran Christians in this room. He wants us to lose. Amen. I'm not in a rush to get to my permanent home, amen, because God put me on earth for a reason. Plus, I don't know what Lex would do if I'm not here. I don't know what she couldn't make it. I mean, like, who's going to grill for her? Amen? Who's going to travel with her? Amen? Who's going to rub her feet? I don't know. I don't do that now, but... Who's going to wash your clothes? I am the one that washes clothes. I'm not in a rush to get to my permanent home. So I am here on earth navigating life. It's a game. Everybody say it does feel like a game. And so it is a game. It feels like a game. And so I don't want to lose. I'm on earth for a purpose. And so this is just a reminder today that it's okay. You're going to feel off. You're going to feel off internally. Your flesh and the word of God is always going to be battling. You're okay. You're okay. God still loves you. You're in his care. Amen. If you have pain in your body, that's the result of the world. Amen. When you're in the world, you don't live forever. Amen. Our loved ones, they don't live forever. It's a part of the system of the world. Amen. But we can trigger this home court advantage by everything I just shared with you guys. And obviously, one sure way to trigger that home court advantage is worship. Because in God's presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Amen. When we lift up a song, when we lift our hands, that is one way to trigger the home court advantage. When you speak, when you're at the house and you're speaking in your heavenly language, you are triggered. You have a home court advantage. When you on your job and you want to say some choice words to the people, you got to trigger something so you have a home court advantage, so you will act like you're in the kingdom of God. And you don't. Why are us Christians promoting and championing, I'm saved, but I'll still cuss you out? Why is that celebrated? I mean, why is that even a thing? I still got a little ratchet in me. I mean, why would... Hello? I still know how to every now and then. What does that mean? We don't... Amen? In other words, I still know how to give in to the L in world. I still know how to just let lust do its thing. Be careful. You give it an inch. Amen. You give it a little wiggle room. You let him ride. The song says he may want to what? He may want to drive. You always worshiping. You always speaking in tongues. You always praising God. You always going to church. You always trying to be around other people that are believers. You've changed. No, I am trying to have this home court advantage 365 days of the year. I have to read my... Why you got the Bible out all the time? I don't even see you reading it. Because I need to make sure my environment in my house... I'm really finished. So I need to make sure my environment, even when I'm traveling, I need to make sure I'm listening to God's word. I need to make sure that I'm talking about God's word. I need to make sure that I'm communicating with God so I can have this home court advantage. Amen. Y'all see the benefits of a home court advantage. Amen. Because the refs, what do? The biggest thing that stuck out with me, the refs do what? They favor the home team. So if I am living a life where I have this home court advantage because of what I do, who's the ref of our eternal home? God. Yes, God. Are you smarter than the fifth grader? It's God, and he's going to make sure we are taken care of. He has already made sure we are taken care of. Have you enjoyed the teaching today? Clap your hands. I'll end right there. So he's the ref of our home team. We're going to be dismissed shortly, guys. If you want to stretch your legs and stand up. Adam and Eve, they messed it up. You had home court advantage in Genesis. You had home court advantage, and you messed it up, guys. And so what we lost in Adam, we make up in Jesus. Amen. Psalm 16:11, God's presence. Every time we worship, we trigger. It's like we're in this, we have this home court advantage. Amen. 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 Clap your hands one more time. Let's lift this song before we leave. Because it's proof that even though we're in the world, we have the ability to have this home court advantage by what we say out of our mouth. Amen. By our appreciation to God, by our adoration, by our appreciation, our thankfulness. And God has been good to us, come what may. Lost, lack, no matter who leaves us, God is still good and has been good to us. Amen. All my life you have been faithful. Y'all lift it up for a couple of minutes with me. All my life you have been so, so good. Come on, lift it up. With every breath. Come on, we will sing. I will sing of the goodness. I will sing of the goodness of God. Let's lift it up one more time. Come on, make it huge. All my life, all my life.
life.